CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Sam, now he's my favorite American chaser of women.
You know, I'm not doing that anymore, Henri. You know, I've reached that point in my life where my priorities are beginning to shift. I think I want to settle down and raise a family.
Oh, that's a good line. Does it work?
I'm really serious about this, Henri. I'm going to go through with this.
Sammy, don't worry. I will not steal your precious line.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello, and welcome back to CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and this time I'm joined by a returning guest whose work you can read on the Playtyper Guy Substack. Welcome back, Stephen Robinson. What's up, man?
Hey, Ryan. How are you? Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. An episode that I really enjoy from this season. It's one of my favorites. And yeah, folks, not to bury the lead, but we've got Henri back again.
Yes. You've mentioned on the podcast before how you think that he's appeared in more episodes, and obviously he's not. With that in mind, I've appreciated them while kind of following along with your podcast each of these, because he's so good. But this one, I think he just steals the show. So
good. Yeah, this is his fourth of five total appearances in the show. And I mentioned, because I had this distinct memory of Henri entering the bar, talking to Woody or Kelly, and like the guys at the other end, Norman Cliff and Paul. I hate that guy, that cocky Frenchman. You know, he's so sick, always trying to steal. And he's like, hello, fellows. And the guys are just like, hey, Henri, how you doing? Like, just completely won't be confrontational, just completely happy to be involved in the conversation. And because I remember, like, I was surprised when I saw them do that joke in his second appearance. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was like, okay, maybe that's why I think he's a bigger part of the show in this season, because they were already making that joke. But then they repeated that joke again in his third appearance. And then they do it again this time.
Yeah, they sort of have, he's got his own sort of French version of Norm, which is kind of
exactly
cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of his, the equivalent of his Norm thing, yeah. Yeah, so let's get into it, people. We are on Season 10, Episode 10, A Fine French Wine, W-H-I-N-E. This one written by Dan Staley and Rob Long, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, November 21st, 1991. Woody is still putting up with Henri, the Frenchman who is trying to take Kelly away from him. Thankfully, Woody won't have to suffer much longer, as Henri receives a letter from INS saying his visa has expired and he has to leave the country. Kelly is sad to see her friend go, and Henri is sad to say goodbye to Kelly and America. Woody's not sad at all and having a difficult time hiding that fact from Kelly. Before they leave to take Henri to the airport, he tells Kelly the only way he could stay in the country is if some American girl agreed to marry him. Kelly happily agrees to marry Henri and can't understand why Woody is upset by that. Sam convinces Woody to not give up, and Woody races to City Hall. He tells Kelly that Henri isn't being deported. He made up the INS letter as an excuse to marry Kelly, which Henri admits is accurate. Woody asks Kelly to marry him, and she says yes, while Sam decides to give Henri's trick a chance to meet women. What'd you think about this one?
Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's the, I mentioned to you before, it's my second favorite of this season. My first, obviously, being the Halloween episode, mm-hmm. which is just classic. I don't know if for folks who perhaps were not alive when this episode aired, of the trope in, you know, sitcoms and romantic comedy movies, there was this like big trope of couples essentially committing immigration fraud. Like that was a thing.
Yeah.
And through that commission of this felony, the couple would fall in love. So if you're sort of aware of this, I think there was shows like I Married Dora. It's so many shows that people have since forgotten in movies. But if you sort of were aware of that trope, it's in a weird way playing out. Obviously, like, oh, I'll marry my friend. And then, of course, they fall in love. Mm-hmm. And that's what sort of Woody's fighting against before, you know, as we get into what the true reveal is. But I couldn't help thinking of that as someone who was alive at the time.
Thankfully, immigration today is still a funny topic. You know, there's nothing,
nothing
unsensitive or controversial or even horrific about the way immigration is handled today.
Yes, it is not... Yes, the scamming to stay in the country thing is not. And I think maybe far too many people in government watch this and thinks it took it seriously. It's like we need to crack yeah. we need to crack down on all this immigration fraud based on these sitcoms.
When this episode starts, we get another, like, at this point they were just rolling. They were like, okay, our teasers can be 20 to 30 seconds long. They don't need a ton of dialogue. Let's make it simple. And they brought the camera crew to Beacon Street right outside the actual bar and did a ton of these teasers that are just really outside with minimal effort. And this one is no different because we get a moving bus tour, like a trolley tour going down the street as what I believe is a real tour guide because he is played by a guy named Peter Fox and Miller. And this is his only credit on IMDb. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming this was his gig. And he's just kind of describing something in the city of Boston. And then something catches his eye. And he's like, oh, God. And he tells the bus driver to speed up. It's that know-it-all mailman. And we get Cliff running behind the bus shouting, I'll give you the real history of Boston. And, like, as it cutting to the credits, it sounds like he's saying something like, the Clavens were here before the Pilgrims.
And you've mentioned before, like, we've reached the point where a teaser can just sort of rest on the idea that the audience knows who these characters are, and that's the joke. And I think that's great. I think that, you know, in the first and second seasons, they were much more tightly constructed, almost one acts. Yeah, but yeah. Here, like, you know these characters so well. Like, it's such a family thing. It's like, oh, that's my crazy Uncle Cliff, right? As a kid watching this, because this is my, I've spent so much of my formative years watching this show. So I always, I kind of appreciated these. Having been in, I don't know, I'm sure you might have been in Boston, but I've taken that, it goes right by. And everyone, mm-hmm. of course, I think they still do, will point out the bar.
It's not surprising. It's playing into the joke that we've grown about Cliff, that he's not just annoying with his inane trivia at the bar. Like, the mayor's office knows who he is. There's a room in City Hall reserved for him when he appears in the building or on the property. They take him away. So, yeah, of course, the tour guides know who he is and know to stay away from him. When we come back, we're inside the bar. Frasier has his headache. He's had it all day, and he can't seem to shake it. And Cliff is like, well, it might not be a headache, or it might be an earwig that has crawled into your auditory canal and is right now chewing away at your cerebral cortex. Frasier's just like, I'll just take an aspirin, and he kind of crosses to the other end and asks for water from Sam. And as he's taking the aspirin, Rebecca, because as we said, she needs something to do at this point, she's like, I know, I'm really good at massage. And she starts doing this rapid, like, karate chop thing to his back to kind of, like, bring it out, which I've seen as a massage technique. But the fact is he's trying to take aspirin, and she's just chopping it, and you just see his hand shaking so much that the water is just splashing everywhere like a tide pool. And then when he said, he's like, I didn't get any water. It's like,
oh, poor Rebecca. I mean, at this point, they just sort of, her defining trait is screw up, and it'll be a major part of the next season as well. And it's a shame, I think, you know, not to do the Diane-Rebecca comparison, but even with all of the dynamic between Diane and Sam was always sort of consistent, no matter where they were in their relationship each season. And Diane's sort of motivation was always consistent, which is just that she wants to kind of get into sort of elite culture, either academic or arts, and her attempt to do that comedically failing. And that's why she leaves the show ultimately, right? Like, so that's her defining trait. And with Rebecca, they'd found it. I thought it was great, the idea of this businesswoman who was trying to, like, make it and was constantly getting, you know, slapped down comedically and would keep trying, almost sort of a kind of corporate version of the Coyote and Roadrunner. And and then it just sort of, they, you know, obviously that ends, but once that ends, they sort of don't know what to do with her anymore. And then sort of the fighting trait for her being that she's a screw up. But yeah. There's no more tension between her and Sam, and no more sense of she kind of not really wanting anything. And she doesn't seem to have that sort of circle of her own kind of characters, like Frasier and even Cliff, like Cliff and his mom. I think I just listened to your of the episode with Matt when Maggie comes back. So you know, that sense of even Cliff had his own kind of world that they could bounce off of. So, you know, it's a shame that kind of, because Kirstie Alley is a brilliant comedic actress, but you don't really have much for her to do in these two seasons.
Yeah, and like her being a screw up, it is hilarious at one part because she's really good. As you said, she's really funny, she's talented physically, and a lot of her errors and these things are great. But I don't know if it's like they overplay it or something, but it's funny, but it, at some point we kind of lose sympathy for her and she just becomes kind of not unlikable, but unrealistic, just kind of like not serious, not a serious character. So it's kind of like, okay, she's, which is fine if that's her shtick, but it does take her, it just makes her part of the ensemble. She's no longer a leading character. She's no longer a driving force in this series. And then Sam, Woody's like, Sam, actually, can I leave early today? Kelly hates it when I'm late for these dates, and Henri doesn't much care for it either. And Sam is like, Henri, you know that French makeout artist who's always saying he's going to steal Kelly away from you? I said, I always liked that guy. which I feel is a little bit of a turn on Sam, but not that far, because in one of his other appearances, like when Henri said something to the effect of like there's nothing greater than like finding a really innocent person and just like seducing them and breaking that innocence and corrupting them. And Sam was like, you know, Woody's my friend, but that's a really good point.
That's a really strong argument. Like he just, the way Ted Danson delivers that line. Yeah, I've always, because Sam, even at his most womanizing, never really seemed like an Henri. Like he does have his own code of honor, but I always saw it as sort of someone who kind of reflects sort of the darkest part of you that you would like to be, perhaps, if you didn't have that conscience. And so that's how I sort of balance it. And I do like that he sort of established, because I guess, you know, one of my favorite episodes for the next season is sort of a Sam Henri kind of face off. And I think they're sort of building that up.
Lilith comes in to check on Frasier and his headache hasn't gone away. She can tell by the pressure wrinkles around his eyes. And she's like, or maybe that's fatty tissue. And Frasier's like, it'll go away. And Cliff pipes in. He's like, oh, no, once you get those fat bags, they're there to stay. So Lilith asks him to describe the headache. She's like, is it a sharp stabbing pain? Is it a dull ache? Is it a pressure headache? Or is it something that just pounds and pounds and pounds? It's like, Lilith, if you don't stop talking, my head is going to explode right here on the bar. And Norm's kind of shouts like, hey, Paul, get in here. He's like, you got to see this. This starts off this recurring joke that Paul misses all of the good action at the bar or something, which I don't, they come back to this joke a lot. I don't know that they actually acknowledge or pay it off at the end. So Lilith thinks that it's time to try alternative medicine. And Frey's got this great line, but I like, I refuse to wear a crystal or dissolve herbs under my tongue or listen to some aging hippie play the whale flute. That's not why I went to college. Even though although when I went to college, I did all those things.
Yes. And, you know, placing him, I think, would have going to college right around that time, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s, depending on how old he's supposed to be. Because I think Frasier's a little older than Kelsey Grammer is. And so, yeah, it's a great line.
Kelly and Henri enter. Henri has a riddle for Woody. How long will it take for him to steal Woody's girlfriend? And Woody's like, I give up. He's like, well, then it won't take long at all. And this is when the guys are like, ah, it makes me so sick. Just get mad just looking at him. And it's like, hello, fellows. And they're like, hey, I'm here.
I love his hello, fellows. It's sort of like up there with Loretta, you know, like high gang of cheers.
Henri asks Sam, how is my favorite American chaser of women? And Sam's like, no, I don't do that anymore. I've reached this point in my life where my priorities have shifted. I've settled down and I want to start a family. And Henri's like, ooh, that's a good line. Does it work?
Just in his delivery of that, of where he's like generally curious. He does this a lot of where his performances, where the way he's looking or whatever, there's just, you could see he's still operating always. Yeah, it's like, it's a very, wheels are turning.
And Sam was like, no, I'm serious. I want to have a kid. I'm not doing that anymore. And Henri's like, well, Sam, don't worry. I will not steal your precious line.
My precious line.
Woody gives Henri a letter and he's like, it looks important. I had to sign for it. And Rebecca's like, Henri, why do you have your mail delivered to the bar? And he's like, oh, because I feel like this is my home away from home. And sometimes I get mail postage due. I mean, at this point, I'm pretty sure everybody gets their mail delivered to the bar, so...
Yes, it's the days of... Well, if you live in a city with tiny mailboxes, it's one of those things of where, essentially, you will lose any package larger than a thumb drive, right? So you have to, essentially, all of those are coming to your right. office or then to your own mailroom. So it's kind of like, yes, I remember that as a New Yorker, like, pretty much having places where all my packages would come.
Henri gets upset. His visa has expired. He's going to be deported in 2 days. He's like, just because I'm not a citizen and I have no job and I have no prospects for a job and I have no wish for a job. And Norma's like, hey, whoa, they can kick you out of the country for that? And Sam's like, no, you relax. You were born here. And Norma's like, God bless America. Henri, you know, says that he'll miss this country. He's like, I have been in love with her ever since I got a glimpse of that big, beautiful woman in the harbor. Cliff is like, yeah, Lady Liberty. Henri's like, she told me her name was Kiki.
God. And he's just sort of confused the way also, again, like he just always kills the line. He's just like, oh, you told me his name was Kiki.
Woody can't hide his pleasure that Henri is leaving and Kelly isn't happy with Woody. So she's so upset that she stomps her foot. And Woody's like, Kelly, try to compose yourself. This is a public place.
And Jackie Swanson as Kelly, as always, is great. And she makes it work for anyone who know, like, if you've either been in a Woody position or know had a friend like Woody, where it's always... Mm-hmm. They had a girlfriend and like the kind of skeezy guy who's always there. And it's just like, well, what's going on? Like, why are you always like running with this guy? And, but she plays it as she's not just, she's generally, there's an innocence there where she's not leading either Henri on or leading Woody on. Like she's just so kind of innocent, sweet, and it kind of makes it work, especially later as you'll get to.
Yeah. And it's her innocence and her naivety more than once strains credulity, even in this episode, it gets that point where I can see somebody being like, no, almost finding her annoying at this point. Yeah. But for me, her charm has always worked on me. And I find her so adorable.
It's the character often more than a script. And the credit I will get to the script is that they know who the actor is, that she can she can sell it. Because yes, with anyone else, it would be, you could imagine Woody's rich, more worldly girlfriend and just kind of, why are you being a jerk to Woody? And why are you, like, obviously you're fooling around with this guy.
Right.
And rubbing it in Woody's face, and you wouldn't kind of like her, but it plays well because there's a way in which they actually, because this is a show about class, right? And they... despite the wealth gap and the worldliness, but she's not sort of, she's worldly in certain ways, but she's sort of on an equal level with Woody kind of in the way they view the world. And I think that makes it so we kind of, as an audience, kind of sympathize with her more, I think.
Right. I mean, she's incapable of seeing a bad part of somebody.
Yeah.
At least at this point, it seems like. And Woody is just trusting in the best part of people, so... Henri is like, don't get mad at Woody, Kelly. You know, I haven't always been nice to him. And he's like, I will miss you. And he shakes Woody's hand. Kelly and Henri leave. And Woody is just like, man, and like, it seems like Henri's apology and his nobility has kind of rubbed off on him. Because Woody's like, what kind of a country would kick a guy like that out and let a guy like me stay? I'll tell you what country. USA. USA. All of a sudden, this nationalistic chant. And later on, like, now that Henri will be gone, Woody can fully express how he feels about Kelly. He's like, I can be spontaneous with her. So I'm writing my thoughts down on these note cards so I know what to say, because that's spontaneous. But he has to peep him in a hiding spot. And Sam's like, why do you have to hide him? He's like, you should have seen what Carla wrote when she got a hold of the card. One of those words I couldn't even pronounce. Woody has a hiding spot above the rafters, like in the ceiling above the bar. And then Sam actually has to boost him up, and Woody Harrelson's upper torso and like old top half of his body disappears. So it's just his legs dangling. And you just see him go, oh, hey, it's my wallet. Like, I've been looking for this for 6 months. And when he climbs down, he's like, all right, I can drive again.
I love that. I can drive again.
At the other side of the bar, Frasier still has this headache, and Norm asks him, he's like, what does that feel like? Anyway, And Frasier's like, you've never had a headache before? It's like, I don't think so. How do you get them? Frasier's like, hey, well, it's a variety of reasons, you know, stress, tension. And Norma's just like, doesn't get it. He's like, day-to-day pressures, any kind of variety of like anxieties, job stuff. And Norm's like, come again? He's like, it's like when you eat ice cream too fast. And Norm's like, oh, I hate that.
I love that he got him on his level.
Yeah. Lilith comes in and she asks Frasier to see Dr. Lee to practice this acupuncture therapy to get rid of the headache. Frasier's like, no, I do not want some spooky doctor practicing the mysteries of the Orient. But then Dr. Lee comes in, and it is a stunning woman. She is played by Nancy Arnold, only has a handful of IMDb credits, just a lot of like one-off TV appearances. But as soon as she walks in, takes her jacket off, and Frasier's like, you know, Lilith, maybe I am being a bit too Eurocentric. So Frasier guides Dr. Lee to the office, where I love that they're just like, yeah, they're so regular, they can use Sam's office for this acupuncture thing. And little Frasier just has this sort of lascivious line. He's like, you are going to warm the oil.
It's like he has a very different idea of what this treatment's going to be.
Right, right. But also, Lilith is 5 feet away. But Lilith stops at the barn. We'll stay there for a second because we get a little moment where Cliff mentions that he's happy to see Henri go, or he's not going to miss him. And he's kind of like doesn't care for the French. And he takes us into a weird Cliff tangent where he's like, you know, when World War III starts, they better not come asking for Cliff Clavin for help. No, sir. He says he's going to be in a fully armed, fully gassed RV heading south to Mexico. And basically, after nuclear annihilation, the cockroaches and Cliff Clavin will be just fine. And Paul is there, and he's like, what a wonderful civilization you'll build together.
Yes, with Cliff being sort of the kind of a stand-in for sort of far-right politics of the period, especially. There was a whole thing, the French had become sort of cultural enemies of America, and it was such a trope. I don't even know what had particularly motivated it at the time. I just was aware of it growing up. You know, Al Bundy, Unmarried Children, didn't like the French, and then, of course, they knew. So anyone who was just sort of like, you know, the French are kind of, and even here, like the idea is who's more all American than Woody, and it's Woody versus the French guy. But it would be sort of this theme for the longest period.
Yeah. And I was aware of it too, even at that time, like the French, it was just kind of they were a punchline to a lot of jokes. And in particular, the idea of the French being weak and surrendering and like just capitulating to everything, like especially going back to World War II, giving the Nazis everything, us having to bail them out. And it was like, there's all of these jokes about, you know, the French always surrendering. And I just kind of internalized that for a long time and just kind of assumed that was part of history until I actually read more. And I was like, nobody fought the Nazis more fiercely than the French.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, give them a lot more credit than they had. So,
and our oldest allies, frankly.
No kidding. So, but the thing is, when Cliff is going on this monologue, I couldn't help, because Lilith is outside the office waiting while Frasier is having this, and she's just sitting at the end reading a book. And as Cliff is going on about this, when he talks about like surviving with the cockroaches, she puts her book down and takes out her notebook and starts writing something down. Oh, yes.
I noticed this again. It's just like how she's sort of, and they've had this joke that she's like essentially the reason she's even there, not just to support her husband, but to essentially do a psychological study on the people.
Notes for her book. Kelly and Henri come back to say goodbye. He's like, he's been so sad all day long. Nothing will snap him out of this funk. And Kelly's like, we even played that game he invented, Shower Rescue.
You can just interpret it however you wish. It's up to your, whether it's innocent or not, Shower Rescue.
And they cut to Henri and he just kind of shrugs like, yeah, it wasn't doing it. He's like, I tried. And she wishes there was some way for Henri to stay. And he's like, well, there is one way, but it's too much to ask, you know, trying to put it off. Like somebody would have to sacrifice a lot. And Woody suspects, he knows where this is going. Cause he's like, well, It's like, there's one way of sheet stain. He's like, we don't want to allow for that. Let's go. Come on. Let's get to the airport. We can't dawdle anymore. And she's like, no, what is it? And he's like, well, if some American woman were to marry him, that would allow him to stay in the country. And she's like, oh. And Woody's like, all right, come on, everybody, let's go. And Woody and Kelly go up the stairs, and Henri just stands by the door and counts to three in French. And at three, or at trois, the door opens, and Kelly walks in. She goes, Henri, I have a great idea. And you just see him like, really? Like, he's like, you thought of something? Really? What could it be? And she's like, I'll marry you. And like, he hugs. He's like, oh, I'm so happy. And Woody doesn't like this idea, and she's insisting that it's not a real commitment. He's like, oh, of course not. We'll just get married. We'll go on the honeymoon, and then we'll come back and go on have a quick divorce. And Kelly really said, we'll go on the honeymoon too? As if like that's a party or something, not getting the implications.
And he's sort of given the satanic contract, right? Like, he says what will happen. And yes, if you are aware of how the world works, like, wait a minute, what happens at that divorce part? I'm a very wealthy person, but she just doesn't, she doesn't get it at all.
Right. And she's like, we're going on the honeymoon? He's like, of course we have to go on the honeymoon. He's like, the INS is very thorough. Sometimes they bug the room to see if we're faking. He's like, but you will not be faking.
You're very thorough.
Woody kind of jumps on this. He pulls her aside. He's like, no, you can't do this. I was like, I'm not going to let you. I don't want you to marry him, this guy. And she's like, sorry, Henri, I guess I can't marry you because my boyfriend won't let me.
Yeah, the way she said, oh my God, she's so good at this.
And Henri starts pretending to get emotional about missing America. And he starts singing America the Beautiful. He's like, we're spacious, guys. They really are spacious, you know?
They really are spacious.
And she's so sympathetic, and Woody's like, no, I forbid this. And she just kind of reacts to him putting his foot down, like, well, Mr. Woody Boyd, the mask has certainly come off. If you're so small-minded that my marrying another man makes you take a rude tone of voice, maybe you're not the man I want to marry after I marry this other man.
That is one of my favorite lines.
Kelly and Henri leave. We go back on the other side of the bar. You just hear a groan coming from the office door. And Lil's like, what the hell is that? Carla's like, you've never heard your husband groan? Oh, what a shock.
Always a good Carla dig.
And Lil's like, I'm sure he's just, you know, benefiting from a very thorough therapeutic massage. But as Sam's walking by, she's like, Sam, could you discreetly go in there and kind of check and see what's taking them so long? She's like, I would poke my head in, but Fraser always says I'm so smothering. She doesn't want to seem like she's jealous or wants to, you know, look over his shoulder. She's trusting this. So Sam is like, yeah, no problem. And I kind of, it's a very, very quick, very subtle moment. But Sam is just like, yeah, no, he calls her honey or like sweet. He I don't remember what it is, but he has like a very nice term of endearment for her, like they're friends. He's like, yeah, no problem, sweetie. And he kind of just walks to the door and he goes inside. And a second later, he comes back and he's like, Lilith, don't worry, everything's fine. Norm, Cliff, get in here.
Yeah, I love Norm, Cliff, get in here.
And the implication, he just looks to them and points to the door. So they get up and Lilith's just watching this like, wait, what? Like, you're assuring me everything is fine, but you want them to see it? And Norm and Cliff go in, and then a second later, Norm pops out. It's like, Paul, come on, and Lilith rushes in there and like slams the door and locks Paul out of there. And inside, we see that Fraser is laying on the desk with what appears to be like 50 acupuncture needles in his chest or something. And they're just like in disbelief of this. And Sam is like, I got $50 as he passes out before she gets to 100. And the guys start betting on that. Norman Cliff take that action. And Lil is like, you're talking about my husband. Put me down for 20.
Yeah, I've always been curious as how they got all those needles in him. Great patience of Kelsey Grammer in these non-CGI days.
I'm thinking he had to be wearing something over his chest. Like there was
right.
Because it looked like a hairy chest, but he had to have something in there that looked like a fake skin thing that they were sticking out of. So props to the wardrobe department for having that. But I think that's where the headache subplot ends. And it's funny. I mean, there wasn't much to it, but we got a little bit of laughs out of that. So.
It's funny. You know, Lilith and Fraser work well. I mean, it goes back to the Rebecca situation, right? Like, which is just like, well, why couldn't she have been somewhat involved or had somewhat of a, if you're going to have a second plot, like, why, where, you know, she exists. It just sort of very, again, this season particularly, if you contrast this, where she is, where Diane is, where it's very rare for Diane to not be somewhat prominent, not to have some sort of role. So it's interesting. But yeah, it's always great. Bebe Neuwirth, like, really, I adore her, and she's just hilarious with this character.
A little bit later, Kelly is back at Cheers, sitting at the table waiting for Woody to come back, and she's so sorry that they had this fight, and they're like, it's okay, I forgive you. They both apologize. She's like, I'm so happy we're back together. And he's like, okay, now I got to get back to City Hall. And he's like, why? And he's like, to marry Henri, Mr. Forgetful. And then she leaves. She's like, bye, I love you. Like, it's still not. She's like, in her mind, this is not cheating on him. This is not being unfaithful or doing. She had no grasp of the stakes of this or why he's upset. And Woody just kind of like, in a daze, kind of like walks back to the bar. And he's like, Sam, have you ever been in love with someone who was on their way to marry somebody else? And Sam's once in the back of a limo, but I'm not proud of it.
Yeah.
Sam like encourages him. He's like, look, you got to go and stop this wedding. You know, if you really love her, tell her that. Beat Henri to the punch. Actually confess that you want to marry her. Like, and Woody's like, you're right. I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. So he's like, give me a boost. I'll get my note cards. And he goes up there and Sam lifts him up. He's like, all right, let me down, Sam. And Sam just kind of lets go. And you just see the legs dangling. Clearly prop legs, that no longer Woody Harrelson's, but they're just kind of there. And Sam's like, I'm not touching you. He's like, oh, I'm stuck. So Sam kind of like pulls tugs a little bit, and you just hear Woody screaming from above the ceiling. And Sam's like, look, we'll find some way to get you down. And Woody's like, in desperation, he's like, no, there's not enough time. Go to the city hall and stop the wedding. He's like, I'll get there when I can. So Sam leaves Carla in charge, and Sam goes rushing out the door. And then Carla just walks over to Woody and just jumps up and grabs his legs, like wraps her arms and legs around him. So her full weight is pulling at his legs. And you just hear him screaming even louder. And for the last time, Norm is just like shouting back to the pool room, Paul, you got to get out here. We go to City Hall, it's not the same room as when Rebecca and Robin were going to get married. Yeah. I remember we were at City Hall last season, when they were going to marry. We don't get the same, set. We also don't get a return of the Justice of the Peace, Ed, who was one of my favorite characters. Ed was awesome. We don't get him in this one, but, we cut to there and, the Justice of the Peace is about to pronounce this couple man and wife, and the couple seems to be a petite blonde woman and a very tall brunette man. And Sam rushes in and he's like, whoa, stop this wedding. She doesn't love him. And the couple turns around and it is not Kelly and Henri.
It is like from a Looney Tunes cartoon. And as you know, where they would do that joke, but they found kind of to be... not to be ungallant, less attractive versions of these actors to play them. And it's comically, you know, again, props to the casting for finding folks.
And the first Justice of the Peace is played by Ron Ray. The bride is played by Sonia Fortag and the groom played by Jeff Heston. And the bride is just like, he's right. I don't love you. And she kind of like rushes out past Sam. And everyone's just kind of looking at Sam is like, anywho, and he heads back out, and we cut to a different room in the city hall where a different Justice of the Peace is going to marry Kelly and Henri, and Sam rushes in, but makes a note of running around so he can actually see their faces before stopping. When the JP is like, I now pronounce you, and Sam's like, whoa, stop. He interrupts, and he's like, he's talking, he pulls Kelly aside. He's like, I'm here because there's a guy that loves you more than Henri ever could. And you've forgotten about them. You're taking him for granted. And Kelly just grabs Sam's hand. She's like, sure, Sam, there's always been a spark between you and me.
He's trying to like explain the situation to her. Like he's very
right,
like to a small child when he's talking to her.
So we come back to the first room with the first wedding, and the groom is taking the bride, he's talking her into going through with the wedding and everything that gets set up. And as the Just the Beast starts again, Woody barges in. He's like, she doesn't love him. This wedding is a disgrace. Jeez. And the groom is like, come on. And she's like, no, they're right. They're all right. I don't love you. And she rushes out.
It's a disgrace. It's always the way he delivers that. I'm always like, this is a disgrace.
So when we go back to the room with Henri and Kelly and Sam and Scott are sitting down trying to explain it to like a child. When I was talking about another man loves you, I meant Woody. Woody loves you. And she's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Thank you, Sam. Well, Henri, are you ready to marry me? Just over. And this is the part where I'm like, okay, if you don't love Kelly, this is the part where it's like, come on, girl. Like, what? Yes, what are you doing here?
She's comically stupid, but it has to be played just very. Mm-hmm. She succeeds.
And to top this joke now for like the fourth time, Woody rushes in. He's like, will the bride and groom please turn around?
I love that.
He has that look and he recognizes them. He's like, okay, stop the wedding.
I love the way he says it as if maybe he's broken up some other off screen weddings, right? Like, all right, I've learned. Bride and groom. Yeah, like, please turn around.
This might not be the second room he went to. So he's trying to stop her and she's like, Woody, we talked about this. It's just so Henri won't get deported. Which,
oops,
she maybe not shouldn't have said that in front of a justice of the peace.
Doesn't want to be an accessory to a crime, to immigration fraud. Not everyone's up on that.
Yeah. And Woody says that she's wrong. Henri won't be deported. He wrote the letter himself. He's just doing this he's manipulating this as a prank to steal her away from Woody. And Henri, over there, just going, how did you figure that out?
The way he's just dumbfounded, like, how did you figure
that? This sets up my home run. It's one of my favorite lines, like, of the season. And I don't think it gets the laugh it deserves. And maybe today it might get a better laugh. But when Henri is like, how did you figure that out? Woody just kind of to Sam, like, you mean I'm right? Wow, score one for the Indiana school system.
Oh my God. So this is going to be my home run. And I was thinking that you were going to suggest that, like, I was crazy because it was such a random line. But I, like, literally, since this aired, I have used this line in my own self-deprecating way, just replacing Indiana with South Carolina, where I'm from. If my wife is our thing, like, if I succeed somehow, it'll be, oh, score one for the South Carolina school system.
I remember watching this episode with my friend Omar, who's been a guest on the podcast a few times before, and, like, that line, just, like, don't know if I've heard him laugh harder than he did at that line. Just score one for the Indiana school system. High five.
High five.
Sam is proud. I'm like, yeah, you did. And then Henri, he confesses he was just going to marry her, sleep with her, divorce her, and take half her money. Can you ever forgive me?
Give me. Of course I can, you silly.
Of course I can, you silly goose. I can't stay mad at you.
You.
She hugs him. And Sam was like, wait, so this whole thing was just a lie to steal somebody's girl away? And Henri's like, yes. he's proud of that. He's like, oh, man, that is beautiful.
Oh, they hug.
Like, everybody forgives Henri for this. Like, Woody can't understand why he's the only buddy who's the only one who sees Henri as the villain he is. Like, everybody else, Kelly, even Sam is charmed by him.
Sam bear hugs him and is just
And Sam is like, I gotta ask, when you're doing something like this, is there just a little part of you that feels guilty? And Henri's like, you're joking, right? finger guns, like,
the finger point, like, oh, I got you. Yeah, you're joking,
they
right?
They walk out together, and Sam is like, it's great to finally have somebody I can talk to about this stuff.
Oh my God.
No. Woody gets down on his knee. He's like, he's gonna take, and he takes out the note cards. He's like, how do you pronounce this word? Oh, darn that, Carla. He's like, she got to count it. But he basically just comes out with it that he loves her, he wants to spend his life with her, and he wants to marry her. And she's like, of course I'll marry you. And they embrace lovingly, and then they walk out of City Hall. And from James Burroughs, we get this cool little tracking shot that we're going to use as we leave kind of down the hall of City Hall picking up with these other stories as we see Woody and Kelly walk out one way, and then we pass the other bride and groom, where the groom is desperately like, so what if total strangers told us not to get married? Can we at least keep dating? Can we go steady or something? And from them, we pan away the same shot to the two justices of the peace talking. It's like, we need to get locks on these doors. Something happened twice.
It's a great shot. It's like sort of very Woody Allen of the period, like Woody Allen movies you watch of the period. It does. And I was going to ask you if you recall them ever doing anything that cinematic before. I'm sure they might have, but I just don't recall it. I always remember this episode of doing it, and it's just really cool. Normally, Cheers is, especially with Burroughs, is staged and directed like a play.
Like a play, yeah.
So you're following, you follow the actors, you follow the characters as they lead the action.
Yeah.
It's very, here you're following the camera, which is
right,
sort of
the
like stating,
weaving you through things. Yeah.
Clearly you're watching something. You're not in a theater audience. You are following.
Right, right, yeah. This is, if they ever did something else like this, they couldn't have done it in the bar. It would have had to have been in a different location.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine where that might have been.
Maybe it was the first, but I always remember, I just loved how it's all tied up. It's just a really cool ending to the episode.
Yeah, because the camera finally comes to rest with Henri and Sam talking to two women, and Henri like, and so we're about to be deported. And Sam just going, we.
We. I did dance. And he's kind of going, and you see him like playing it as if, again, as Sam. I always love when actors play bad acting. And so he's kind of like waiting for his line, and he can't, like, we.
that's the extent of his French. Yeah. It's a very funny episode. I love it. And it is the culmination of the Kelly and Henri subplot, which has been going on since early in season 9, even though now it's only 4 episodes. Now, as I mentioned, Henri does appear one more time in the final season, but this kind of puts a close to that, to Henri being a foil for Woody for this romantic thing, because at this point they are committed, they're engaged more or less, and we start building towards their wedding, which will be at the end of this season. So there's kind of a new shift, a new focus for their relationship that I really like, and the way this kind of plays out. Like, I think this was an adequate way of raising the stakes, of finally putting them to a point where, like, Henri's not just casually going about this. He actually has a scheme to bury her, seduce her, and get half of her money, which we didn't, was kind of always implied, sort of, but didn't really give it voice until the very end of it. And then Woody finally comes out on top, finally defeats him. So that was cool. I like that.
It's just a great, you know, Woody as the character, that's the build, and he's kind of going places, and it's just great. And it'll get into one of the, the season finale is also great. And it's probably one of, I should say, perhaps one of the best episodes of the series itself.
Yeah. Once we get to that, I'll share how much I love that one. For Norm's tab, he only had 3 beers this episode, which brings him up to a total of 986. He still has 369 credit left at that. Who is your employee of the week, your MVP?
Obviously, it's it's going to be a tie between Henri or Kelly. I mean, I think if you to avoid us both saying Henri, you could try to give it to Kelly, because
I picked Kelly. So if you want to give it to Henri.
Henri, definitely. He is just, as a writer myself, I'm always humbled by when actors take it to the next level. Like, it's just beyond what the script. It's just not everything he kind of does. He's sort of in his eyes. There's sort of like a almost twisted innocence. Like, he's sort of just who he is. Like, he almost doesn't try to hide his sleaziness. Is that that's sort of what is kind of endearing. I think that's part of Woody's frustration, because it's kind of like, well, he's mustache twirling right in front of us, like, no one else, but he just sort of gets it. And the way he puts the button on those lines, like, I thought she was he's just great, and it'll be wonderful seeing him. I think from his next appearance, my mom always saw the line of like, so guy, what's this babe kit? It's like, dude. He's just able to deliver things in certain ways. It's just like, that makes it funny, and you wonder why I'm laughing. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of
it's good
his performance.
Yeah, I went with Kelly, and again, she's even though she's impossibly dumb, she's just so sweet. She's adorable. Like as I put it earlier, like her charm has always worked on me. It's a combination of the way she's written. It's the combination of the way Jackie Swanson plays her. I don't know. Again, this maybe has something to do with the casting, but like the alabaster skin and like the really blonde hair. She's like almost childlike and doll-like. That yeah. makes her sweet and innocent in that way that just kind of makes it. It's hard for me yeah. to hate her.
It's yeah. sort of that she's wearing sort of a horse's
yeah.
equestrian yeah. outfit or something she's wearing. And again, you could very easily have written her as just a standard rich kind of rich girl mm-hmm. condescending to Woody. And
right.
the writers from the start kind of decided to go beyond that. That sort of, I was always impressed again as a writer that like in the first scene, it was sort of, it could have been very easy in that her first episode to just have her be either normal or kind of
yeah.
rich girl in certain predictable ways. And mm-hmm. then you wouldn't have no way to go with her afterward. And here she's just, I mean, she's, mm-hmm. she's been in so many, obviously, I'm sure, yes, you covered before the cat fight with, later Lisa Kudrow from Friends, which is one of the, mm-hmm. you know, again, laugh out loud moments from I remember watching originally with my mom. And so she's great. Jackie Swanson's really, great in this role.
I think we both said that we have the same, home run, which is score one for the Indiana school system.
It gets me every time.
What were some of your other favorites?
The to quote from Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, the insane clown, same troll logic of Kelly's like, if you're so close-minded that by marrying another guy is enough to take a hostile tone, it's just again just delivered with commitment as Swanson delivers it as if like this makes perfect sense.
That was my next runner-up too. I had that one written down on my list.
It's like Gracie Allen's sort of the idea yeah. of like the clock. I just only plug it in when I need to know the time. And she delivers it, Gracie delivers it in a way that's like, oh, I guess that makes sense. And then like, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. And so there's this definite skill to that.
I think my last runner-up is just when Lilith asks Sam to check on Frasier and he walks in and he pops his head out. He's like, relax, Lilith, he's fine. Norm, Cliff, get in here.
Get in here. Yeah.
Like, there's no... There's like a hint of urgency in it. He's like, well, don't worry about it. He's like, guys, get in here. Hurry. You got to see this before something. Like,
yeah. And the generosity of Ted Danson. I mean, we talk about this, but like, especially after Shelley Long left and, mm-hmm. you know, there, it could have been very easy to be like, okay, now this is totally my show. Cause they were both double billed. And it's like, okay, now this is totally my show. Everything has to be about me. And he, you know, Sam is sort of the North Star always, but Ted Danson mm-hmm. never hesitates to either look foolish or to, as Sam, or to just support another story. And when he supports, he's always so great in like elevating the scene or the moment, like in those right. things. So he's essentially played a supporting role to sort of Woody and to mm-hmm. in these moments with and mm-hmm. when he's of Henri and he's like hilarious like
yeah.
and then he gets the button on the episode and he just kills it because it's, you know, of course Ted Danson's gonna kill it.
Yeah. And the moment I said before, like that little endearing exchange he has with Lilith. Oh, yeah. And then when he's with Kelly, like when they're when he stops the wedding and when he's kind of like they're sitting down together, it's like this is a sweet tender moment. You just see why everybody loves him, because he's a good friend and there's no yeah. sinister motives in these scenes. It's only
no, exactly. Because he wants to be honorary. He's not like, yeah. but he's just saying and again, I think the next season proves that. But like he tried, like he's sort of like, look, he gives good advice. Like, aren't you just sick of this guy coming right. in? Do something.
Oh, Stephen, thank you very much for coming on this episode. Where else can people find you if they want to hear or read more from you?
The Playtyper Guy, Substack, also my YouTube channel where I interview interesting folks, including yourself. We've talked about Cheers on my podcast as well. And yeah, on YouTube and all the socials, The Playtyper Guy. And yeah, it's always fun coming in, chatting my favorite TV show, and just in parting, I will say, is something, whenever I revisit it, it just feels as if this is a timeless show. Like, it's not even just interesting. It's interesting moments of like, oh, like this was happening at the time that gives it sort of weight, but the humor is always still there. So it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this. Yeah. Thank you again for coming on the show. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening. And until next time, we're closed.
You can't go through with this. I can't let you marry Henri.
Woody, we've been through this a million times. It's just so Henri won't get deported. Oops.
You're wrong, Kelly. He's using you. He wrote that letter himself. He's not going to be deported. He's just trying to steal you away from me. How did you figure that out? I mean, I'm right? Wow, score one for the Indiana school system.
I am sorry, Kelly. I was trying to take you away from Woody and have my way with you and divorce you and take half your money. Can you ever forgive me?
Oh, I can't stay mad at you, you silly.